From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Two of the new Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellows are dedicated to supporting and uplifting students in the city's public schools. Arti Sidhu provides legal representation for students facing expulsion and suspension. The idea is to make sure they know their rights and what resources are available to them. Sierra Daniel helps African American boys in elementary school build confidence through mentoring, education, and the power of positive affirmation. She tells them,
"We think you're wonderful. We think you're valuable. We think that you're gifted." And they appreciate that. They feel loved, they feel respected, and they develop a sense of hope, and they fall in love with their future selves.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Media is a powerful influence, and young people are bombarded with its sounds and images from a tender age. Sierra Daniel, a 2018 Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellow, recognizes this. It's part of why she established Young Kings Leadership Academy, an after-school leadership development program that targets African-American boys at City Springs Elementary School in East Baltimore. The project hopes to counteract negative stereotypes about black men in popular culture and help students realize their potential to serve their school and their community. Later in the show, we'll hear from another OSI fellow who's assisting students facing suspension and expulsion. Sierra Daniel is one of 10 fellows who each will receive $60,000 over 18 months to work full-time developing a local project. The nonprofit Open Society Institute funds projects to improve lives in underserved communities, from mentoring young people to addressing injustice in the criminal justice system. Welcome to On the Record, Sierra.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the Young Kings Leadership Academy.
It's a school-based after-school program for middle school black males. We seek to develop them as leaders within their school and in their community, as well as provide interventions that play on their assets and not their deficits and allow them to explore their strengths.
So how do you do that?
We do it through our flagship program as a 20-week program. We have a very holistic curriculum, which explores things from reading to writing to all the way down to imaging and the way that they speak. They also have the opportunity to be paired with one-to-one black male mentors that are served to empower them and also give them the opportunity to explore different career options that they may not have even known about. Understanding college culture, being able to apply what they're doing now and create short-term goals in order to reach their long-term goals.
Seems like a pretty intense program. How do you get young men willing to do that after school?
Well, they are lining up, believe it or not. So my husband and I started it last year. We were completely self-funded, so we could only afford to serve 7 students. By the end of the year, almost every black male student in the middle school has come up to us and requested to be in our program. Currently, this year, the way that we are kind of addressing that is hosting monthly workshops that all of the students are welcome to attend.
What is it, do you think, that is pulling them in? What attracts them?
I definitely feel like it is the lens of how we view them, of being seen as valuable and given an opportunity. Currently, unfortunately, due to media, and within school walls, black males are often demonized. And we give them an opportunity to say, "Hey, we think you're wonderful. We think you're valuable. We think that you're gifted." And they appreciate that. They feel loved. They feel respected. And they develop a sense of hope. And they fall in love with their future selves.
So tell me more about the activities.
We want to give students the opportunity to be exposed to many different things, whatever their interests are. Some of the things that we've done last year were at planning, the students felt like health was an issue in their community, and so they went through the process of what it meant to develop an app to combat that, to get people more active through their phones. That's a issue that has come up in their generation where everyone has out their phone. And so they felt like that's something that they need to figure out a way how to keep their community engaged. We have things such as reading interventions that meet every student where they are. So one student could be on a second grade level, one student can be in a seventh grade level. But in our program, you have the opportunity to read content where you are and develop short-term and long-term goals in order to reach whatever your goals are.
What else?
We also incorporate travel. This year, as a way to incorporate travel, we're introducing a virtual reality curriculum in which students can enter the after-school program within school walls, put on a headset, and be transported to Egypt, to China, and really have the opportunity to escape and see something beyond what they're used to seeing.
Is there a mentor element?
Yes, there is a mentor element. So in the mentoring element, each student is paired with one Black male mentor. The mentor engages with the student once a week, engages with their parents and their teachers as a way to increase accountability and also be able to check in with the student and be a source of support.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Sierra Daniel, a 2018 OSI Baltimore Community Fellow, about her project, the Young Kings Leadership Academy, an after-school leadership development program targeting African-American boys at City Springs Elementary Middle School in East Baltimore. How are the topics decided on?
Well, the issues are student-led, so we want to hear their voice. Students are used to being bombarded with teachers and with programs telling them what they should be working on, what issues they should be addressing, what behaviors they need to reform. We give students a voice. We give them the opportunity to tell us, what do you think are the issues that plague your community, that plague your school? And we help them go through the process of how to address those issues. And throughout the time, we measure how are students being empowered. Do they feel more confident addressing issues within their community? Do they feel more confident addressing issues within their school? An issue that you may think is too big for you to solve, we want to equip you with saying, yes, I can be that agent of change.
Why this age group? Why middle school?
So there are several different reasons. One, the Baltimore Education Research Consortium here in Baltimore conducted a study. They found that 75% of sixth grade students who showed signs of disengagement did not graduate high school on time.
In middle school? Showed signs
in sixth grade and did not graduate in time in high school, in 12th grade, with their peers. So these signs start to creep up extremely early. If we all can take the time back to reflect on our middle school years, it's a time in which we seek who we are. We look to media, we look to our peers, we look to people in authority, our parents, our teachers. What do people think about me? What is possible? And so we want to be an opportunity for students to explore larger options of who they can be and what they can achieve. And creating, helping them navigate to create a sense of identity in which they can feel empowered about.
How do you choose the students? Are they, you know, the kids with the best grades, or what are the criteria?
So the students in our program, it's not exclusive to low performance or high performance. You don't have to be the brightest. You don't have to be a behavior problem. We really work with the teachers in identifying, you know, who has untapped potential. And we want a group of diverse students. We want them to play on each other's strengths, right? So one student could be receiving straight A's and is simply bored in the classroom and needs more opportunities beyond the classroom to really engage his interest and love for learning. Another student may have leadership potential but continuously is finds himself in behavior infractions. And so what we do is we bring all of those students together. We work with the school to identify, you know, who could really use this support. Sometimes it even comes down to whose mom is currently in classes after school and her child needs to be in a program after school. Because that's a really present reality in the neighborhood in which we're working in. It's the number one neighborhood in Baltimore with the highest percent of single parent homes.
How do you find the mentors?
So we are calling on mentors from any and everywhere. Currently, we are working with college students. We are working with Black male professionals throughout Baltimore. So any and everybody who has a desire to pour back into the lives of young Black males who can say, you know, this is something that I would have benefited from. I may not be in the field of education. I may be a lawyer. I may be an engineer. But I want an opportunity to give something positive to the next generation of young Black males.
You mentioned that when you and your husband were doing this last year mm-hmm. as a totally volunteer effort with your own money, mm-hmm. You were able to support seven
yes.
students. So how do you scale this up? I mean, you've got now the fellowship behind you.
Yeah.
But you still got to find the mentors and all this stuff. How does it scale up, and to what extent do you think it does scale up?
Yeah, so we started very small, and we're trying to continuously find ways to grow, but grow in a way in which we can still be very, very effective. Right now, we are looking to increase our network, right? Last year, we were with our personal networks. Now we're trying to build partnerships with Morgan, seeking to build partnerships with professional hubs that have people who are interested in becoming mentors and being a part of the work that we're doing. Another aspect is serving more students. By next year, we'll have 30 students at City Springs, serving 10 students in each grade within the middle school. And hopefully the goal is to develop large change in City Springs, and to the point where we will have the capacity to make the same impact in city and schools all around the city.
That's the success you're looking for.
That is.
I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Sierra Daniel is a 2018 OSI Baltimore Community Fellow. Like nine other fellows, she'll receive $60,000 over the next 18 months to fund her project, the Young Kings Leadership Academy. It's an after-school leadership development program for African-American middle school boys at City Springs Elementary Middle School in East Baltimore. We've got more information at the On the Record page on WIPR.org. Quick break on the record, and then we'll meet another OSI Fellow with a project for students facing suspension. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Baltimore City Schools have thousands of suspensions and expulsions per year. Many students and parents who might benefit from legal representation during the process don't even realize it's something they should or have the right to request. Arthi Sidhu hopes to assist students and families facing those situations and raise awareness about resources available to them. Sidhu is a 2018 Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellow, and her project, Represent Youth, Baltimore School Justice Initiative, will provide legal representation to Baltimore school children in suspension and expulsion proceedings and will educate clients about their rights. She's one of 10 fellows who will each receive $60,000 over the next 18 months to fund a local project. The Open Society Institute aims to address issues that plague Baltimore's underserved communities, from food deserts to transportation equity. Welcome to On the Record, Arthi.
Thanks so much.
The student is suspended or expelled. Tell us what happens next.
So when a student is suspended or expelled, they have a right to due process. Similarly, in our criminal justice system, there's a process set out in the law that schools must follow when they want to suspend or expel a child. So our place as advocates in this space is to make sure that schools are following the law and that parents and youth are able to defend their rights and receive an education.
Is it necessary for a student to have legal representation due process?
It's not necessary, and it's also not legally mandated, but it's very helpful. So when a student is first suspended or expelled, there's a meeting typically where they're told about kind of what they did and the reason for the suspension. Now, a parent and a child can advocate for themselves in that environment and either say that they didn't do that or, you know, they believe there's a reason that they shouldn't be suspended. But they oftentimes don't know the law and what they're entitled to. So when a lawyer comes in, they're able to make sure that the school is really following that process and that that suspension is actually legal.
At what point do you engage the student and family?
So it depends on when we get, and when I say we, I mean advocates in this space in general, but it depends on when we're called upon. And at this point in time, we're often called upon a little too late in the process. We will get referrals from the public defender's office if a child is being formally charged criminally with something, because they will often also have a problem at school. But luckily, that's part of what my project seeks to do. I really want to engage the community and educate youth and families on their rights so that they know their rights and they know that there are advocates out there that are able to help them.
So how will you do that?
So I actually came to the idea of my project after I was in law school and I had a couple of internships. I interned with Disability Rights Maryland, which is an organization that advocates for students with disabilities. And that's when I saw how students with disabilities were disproportionately suspended and expelled. And lawyers at Disability Rights Maryland defend these students in these disciplinary proceedings, and they also advocate in schools for the students with disabilities to be able to get services that they're entitled to. Furthering my work with youth, I started working with a partnership of attorneys called Maryland Suspension Representation Project. And these are attorneys from various youth advocacy organizations that have come together to do exactly what my project seeks to do in the entire state of Maryland, and that is represent youth in disciplinary hearings. Now, that's where I came onto the idea for my project. And I will have three goals in my project, and that's one is to represent youth directly in these hearings. The other is to educate the community on their rights and put them in a place where they can advocate for themselves. And the third is to advocate on a legislative level as well.
If parents and students don't really know they can or should have legal representation, how do you plan to get that word to them?
I really think it's community engagement. It's getting the word out. As someone who's fairly young, I like to say, I think social media is a great way to reach people. So, you know, I'm working on a number of informative materials that will be available online and in print. And one of the goals of my project is to hold Know Your Rights trainings. I'll be working specifically only in Baltimore City. So I want to have Know Your Rights trainings in schools or in different community spaces where people come out and are able to learn about the topic.
And you plan to do some of that in the schools?
Yes. I mean, if schools are open to having me, absolutely.
Well, that was my question. Are they?
Well, I've just got started. So, you know, we'll have to see. But it's an effort to work together to do what's best for our students. And I honestly believe that schools do want to do what's best for their students. They may just not always know the processes or, you know, see it in a different light. So I definitely hope to be able to go into schools and I'll keep you updated.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with OSI Baltimore Community Fellow Aarthi Sidhu. She'll receive $60,000 over the next 18 months for her project, Represent Youth, Baltimore School Justice Initiative, which will provide legal representation to Baltimore school children in suspension and expulsion proceedings. Give us some perspective on the situation. What are the numbers of suspensions and expulsions in Baltimore City? Who tends to show up most in those numbers?
Sure. So I'm going to speak about school year 2016, 2017, because that's what we have stats for so far. And In that school year, there were 4,457 suspensions. With that being said, 4,122 were Black students. 1,214 were students with disabilities. And when you look at the school breakdown, there's actually a lot more in younger age children than you would expect. There were 589 suspensions in elementary schools, 190 in middle schools, and 1,095 in high schools. So the majority of suspensions are in high school, but there's also a large amount for younger children as well.
And you highlighted the numbers for Black students and students with disabilities because you think they're disproportionately high,
given, absolutely,
given their representation in the classroom?
Yes.
There was legislation, state legislation, passed last year to address suspensions and expulsions. Has it made a difference?
Honestly, we don't know yet because the numbers aren't out yet for that school year. But
what does it do?
So there was a bill passed and actually enacted on July 1st of 2017, I believe, to ban suspensions from pre-K to second grade. There is an exception in the bill for students that bring weapons to school, but you can no longer suspend students in pre-K to second grade in the state of Maryland.
And we just don't have numbers yet.
We don't.
Other legislation?
Yes. So in 2017, there was also a bill passed to work to implement restorative practices in schools. And restorative practices, it's just the idea that there's a climate created in the school that's positive and safe and racially equitable and relationship focused. So, for example, if we tied restorative practices to suspensions, if two students have a fight, instead of sending them both home for 3 days and then bringing them back as if nothing happened, there would be something called a community conference where we would bring both of the students together, their parents, maybe a teacher, anyone else that was involved in the situation, and we would talk it out. There would be a mediator there to discuss both sides, to discuss what happened and kind of how to fix it and how to move forward. So it's just a more rehabilitative process rather than just a punitive one.
We've been talking sort of at a policy level. Are there individual cases you've encountered that stick with you?
Yes. So in my experience as a clinic student attorney when I was in law school, I had a suspension rescinded. The due process rights of the student were not followed, and therefore they had to rescind that suspension. That's something that would have been on this child's record forever that shouldn't have been, and we were able to get it removed.
What had the child done or not done that put him or her in that situation?
It was an argument with a student on the playground that had been, you know, coded as a fight. But I ended up in the room with both students and both parents. And the children didn't feel as though they were fighting. They were just, you know, they were having an argument. And it just, you know, an administrator had heard it and had pulled them in, and these students had been suspended. I was just going to share as well, just the idea of the school-to-prison pipeline. Like, taking these kids out of school is taking away their education. And there's not always somewhere for them to go when they're put out of school. There are reasons that kids are sent home for no reason. And it's actually in the law that you cannot send a kid home for not attending a class. If he's cutting class and walking through the hallway, that is not legally a reason that you can suspend them. But because that's illegal, there are times when students are they're found in the hallway and they're told, go home. You're not in class. Don't go back to your classroom. Just go home. And that is not legal. So I had one situation where a student was put out of the classroom, sent home as a result. When he got home, I'm not sure if his, you know, parents are at work, so there's a lot of things to think about here. But eventually when he talked to his parent said, well, what happened? And he said, well, I was suspended because I was cutting class. And they said, they can't suspend you for that. Where's the documentation? And of course, they never gave the student documentation. So now he's in trouble at home because his parents don't believe him and there's no documentation. So it's just a dangerous cycle.
Are you hoping to engage more lawyers in this type of work
as
part of your OSA project?
Absolutely. So independently and with Maryland Suspension Representation Project, we are happy to recruit attorneys that want to do this work pro bono. And we don't have a formal onboarding process or a formal training process in place yet, but that's one of our goals definitely for the future.
So looking at this whole range of things that you intend to do, how will you know if your OSI project is successful? How will you measure that?
So I've been asked this question a lot, and it's a very difficult one to answer. But to be honest, I love what I'm doing every single day, and I'm proud of it every single day. And I have made some quantitative goals in terms of numbers of trainings I want to hold and numbers of clients I want to have and numbers of complaints or appeals that I may write. But in every single case with every single client, I just hope to do everything that I can to help them. And to me, that will be success.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
OSI Baltimore Community Fellow Aarthi Sidhu. She'll receive $60,000 over the next 18 months for her project, Represent Youth, Baltimore School Justice Initiative, which will provide legal representation to Baltimore school children in suspension and expulsion proceedings. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to learn about all of the OSI fellows. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. On the Record, join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.